I know. Hello, my Facebook family. How are you? Thank you for joining me on my Crystal Loves Texas podcast this Wednesday, November the 2nd. Am I right, y'all? November the 2nd. And we are officially how many days out?
Hold on. No, this is the first.
It's the first?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yesterday was Halloween.
Well, let me tell you.
Lloyd said, don't be giving him no horn set.
I know. Lloyd had a look on his face like, wait a minute now.
Lloyd said, don't be giving him no horn set.
But let me tell you, the reason I thought it was a second is because, of course, we had to change our boards today before we left school to make sure that it was reflecting the lesson for the next day. So I put November 2nd up there. So that's why I'm on November 2nd. But we know. It is November 1st, and we are officially how many days out, y'all, from election day?
You would have a better answer to that.
I mean, you know, we 6 days out from the official day, but then we only got 2 more days of early voting tomorrow and Friday.
We got 2 more days of early voting, and so you are not late. This is what I need for you.
I voted yesterday.
Rebecca voted yesterday, and I'll be voting on Friday. But listen. I got a call last week, and I got a call from community advocate Lloyd Ford.
Come on now.
And Lloyd Ford said, I got to get back in there because I got to tell the people who watch the Crystal Loves Texas podcast, I got to tell them some of the milestones that we've hit during this season. And Lloyd, this time last year, was your name even on the ticket?
No, not at all. But I would say this, like, we didn't almost reach like 10,000 people at these polls. So, you know what I'm saying? Are we hitting everybody? Of course not. But everywhere, the whole team, all the polls we at, you know, we just appreciate everybody that's doing the work, you know, being a part of the movement, period, and what we doing. So we just excited that we even out here doing this. Never thought we would do this. But, you know, we just want to make sure to let people know, look, it's always a part of the mission in our communities about progressing in our thoughts and our thinking and being adjustable in our plans.
Right. Exactly.
And Lloyd, talking about, you know, we never thought we would do this. Where was it in your walk that you said, you know what, this is something that I really need to look closely at because I think I can affect my community in a positive way? How long ago was that? And when did you make that decision?
To be honest, like, I want to say about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
You know, when we really started really getting into who we were going to support in this race for our community.
Yes.
And so we always know the different things that we can do with city council, but traditionally they haven't been done. You know, I just think a lot of people operate. If they predecessor didn't do it, then most likely they don't do it.
Right.
So that's not how we go about things, innovation in our communities.
Yeah.
You know, just because something hasn't been done doesn't mean that we can't do it or be the first person to do it.
Right.
So when we see that it was just a need and a lot of things weren't getting answered and we couldn't get a lot of accountability, then, hey, we start looking for people to support.
And the thing about it, too, is, you know, one interesting thing about you and about some of the other people that I've seen out here really, really trying to get in there and make a difference is that you're looking at some different ways and some different inroads to affect the community that haven't been touched before.
Oh, for sure. You'll be surprised just already the things that we do, like one of our things that we do, you know, we own our credit card system. We redirect the fees back towards the community.
Wow.
And so with that, we build civic club websites and we pay for them too. So we've been doing that for over 4 or 5 years.
So you pay for civic club?
Yes, pay for them to this day.
That's awesome.
And one thing that we say when we bring different initiatives like this to city council, first people they say is, oh, we can't do that, or that's not the city council job. I believe it is. If I can do it as a citizen, as a community advocate, why can't we use our own tax dollars to fund the things that will progress our own community?
It's not just because it hasn't been done before. That doesn't mean it can't be done.
Right.
For sure. That's how I feel.
Yeah. Okay. You know, you got to break this down for me. When you say in the last year and a half, you all have reached 10,000 voters. That's a lot of people, Lloyd.
Oh, not the year and a half. I was just talking about for early voting.
Oh, my gosh.
That's still a lot.
Oh, no.
If That's over this year and a half, I know we've reached over probably 25 to 30,000 voters just in person. I can't speak to how many people that we're reaching for social media, for digitally, for mail outs, for the news, newspaper. So I'm sure we didn't reach more people than that. but just on who we touch personally, and I'm gonna make sure I got, I'm gonna get your yard sign for sure. Hey, DM me your address again, just so I make sure I get it right.
People are asking for yard signs.
Oh yeah,
real time. Yes,
for real. So our thing was taking that grassroots approach and dealing with the civic clubs, dealing with the super neighborhoods, which have been out in our area for over 4 or 5 years.
They have
right. not operating, no president. So you talk about representation on that super neighborhood alliance. We're not getting that. We don't get those votes. So we just want to bring that progress back and at the same time get the next generation involved in this process and let them know
and
how it affects
them.
And
that's what I want to hit. And I know Rebecca's got that question. I'm going to let you want to hit it first? You want
yeah,
me to?
Yeah, I'm going
to. You go ahead. I'm going to ask you specifically about that.
I look at the civic clubs now because my parents are very involved. My mom's best friend is president of the Sugar Valley Blue Ridge.
I know Miss Spikes.
Yeah. And my mom is her secretary, Barbara Williams.
Come on now.
Yeah. So my mom is the secretary. Mm-hmm. So I see like elderly people and they are pushing for younger people. But how can we get younger people involved? And they keep asking me to come on, but you know,
you need to do it, Rebecca.
For sure.
But you also Stop know playing. What I'm also, you know, I'm very know, active
still,
in my teachers union.
Yes, you are.
Extremely active. So it's right. just like, it's hard for me to bounce back because, sure. you know, we're in the middle of a crisis right now.
Right.
So, but how do we reach those young people and let them know that it's just not an old people thing? No offense, mommy.
No, I feel you. But that, to be honest, that's why we took the first step and making sure that they're able to be found digitally on the websites.
Okay.
Then, so now when we go into these young people in the neighborhoods and we say, guess what? You stay right around the corner and you're not having no say on your neighborhood. You know, the first thing people ask is, how do we find them?
Yeah.
How do we find when the meetings are? Because they're not going to go above and beyond to go get involved in these meetings.
Okay.
So we got to make it readily available.
Right.
So now we can say, hey, this is where you go. This is the website. This is how you find your civic club, your information. Because even on the city website till this day, we have people that has been transitioned over 4 or 5 years.
Right.
But still on the city website as the civic club president.
Wow.
So we just don't have a lot of information when it comes to organizing our community. We think that'll be one of the first thing that we do as a city council office is organize our community.
Okay, let me ask
That's
you
important.
This.
That's important. That's vitally important.
Let me ask you this,
important.
Lloyd. Now, you have spoken to that as it pertains to neighborhood associations and neighborhood clubs and civic clubs. But I got to tip my hat to you for this simply because like no other entity that I've ever seen before, you have pretty much in your district completely energized Gen Z's.
I mean, that's kind of the plan, you know, as well as not
Gen
leaving
Z's
out
not voting.
Voters.
Aren't you Gen Z?
No, I'm a millennial.
Oh, well, millennials and Gen Z.
I teach Gen Z.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm a millennial too, but yeah.
But you, I see people. Lloyd, you got commercials,
but I mean,
things like that going on. Where I see Gen Z's who've written raps for you.
Look. Well, you know.
Yeah, that video was kind of dope, though.
I'll put like that. That was, you know, that was mainly, you know, Randy. Randy was the composer.
Yeah.
Either one getting he putting together everything. So look, we got commercials out.
Yeah.
But it speaks to the interns that we had right there at the middle school. You know, we had a lot of interns right there
that's
at Addicts Middle School.
That's true.
They taught me a lot of things that we need to do for the next generation. And to be honest, that's where we need to start. And I'm going to say this, I think that's what makes us special as being the city council person for this area is because, look, I know a lot of people talking about your streets, your roads, which are things that need to be done. But guess what? I think the most important thing that we talk about is getting the next generation ready for what's to come in our neighborhoods. And I don't see nobody else doing that but us that's running for office.
Okay.
And one of the things that I've noticed too, and I've said it, you know, my dad and I have had this discussion many of times. The reason that elderly people get what they get from city councilmen, from state representatives, all the way up to Congress is because they vote.
Yes.
They don't sit
noise.
Down. Right. Yes. And maybe because they do have the time. I don't know.
Right.
But
I can't say that because I see a lot of sitting up at the Sunnyside Multi-Service Center all these days for early voting. I see a lot of people come, young people come.
That's
and we'll say, hey, are you coming to vote? Nah, I don't vote. or oh, nah, I ain't think about that. Maybe I should, but oh, nah, for real. Like, that is a real thing.
And that's my dad said, that's the reason why elderly people get what they get. Not necessarily because we come out and vote. And when you vote, people listen to what you have to say and they want their seat. So they gonna oblige.
Yeah. Oh, you right.
So that's why elderly people get what they get. And young people, and I was just stuck in my mind, if we go out and vote, millennials and Gen Z, they'll start doing things in our favor too, but because we don't vote, they don't care.
Oh yeah, for sure. They I feel like this, it's not that they don't care, is they don't care enough to act at our time frame. Okay, now as the, you know, society evolve, then guess what? They'll start moving in the area, but only when it suits them.
Exactly.
Not when it suits
but
us.
It's not suitable to them because we're not voting in large numbers.
Oh, for sure. Definitely.
Well, Lloyd, let me ask you this. I want you to tell me a little bit about how you started a literally grassroots campaign with nothing and started a movement where artists have written songs and jingles and the whole community has jumped on board.
Did you say nothing? Like, it was just bottom of the bear?
Who? No, he started.
Lloyd was a business owner. But he started this campaign. You didn't start with a huge donor who gave $20,000?
Actually, we started this before we even had the businesses. So Creative Group Economics has been around since 2017.
Tell us about that.
So, you know, we started off with the philosophy, you know, 600 people giving 20 bucks a month, that's $12,000. What could we do with that? What kind of initiatives could we start? Yes. What type of businesses could we start? So that's what started Creative Group Economics.
Right.
But now, you know, it kind of evolved over the years. We was having just regular community meetings trying to develop a plan to what we need to do.
Yes.
But I'm not gonna lie, that allowed me to see the flaws in my plan. Was we were asking people what to do that was coming to the meetings for to be told what to do.
Okay.
So at some point in time, we had to realize that we had to have a certain amount of plan already created to let people critique or let people fall in with. And that's what we started doing. That's when the Black Store was born.
Right.
That's when our credit card systems and things were born.
Yes.
And so all the programs that followed it or just learned lessons and things that we realized that we needed to do with our community.
Tell me the next evolution, the next generation of the Black Store. What's coming with the next generation of the Black Store?
Well, I'm excited. You know, the next generation is going to call the Black Store Retail Experience.
Okay.
So, you know, since we realized that we found our real niche, even though we realize it's still a gap in the beauty supply industry, we realize it's a bigger gap in the health industry on what we do and what we put in our bodies for our communities.
That's right.
So we'll be carrying a lot of natural items that you use, whether that be sea moss, whether that be different gels, different things that we use. We even have a line that we'll be developing where we have over 12 different makeup products made from natural sea moss and other things that's natural.
And do y'all work with healthcare practitioners or different people who are in the health industry?
Of course. I think that was our biggest thing when it came to the Black Store was our consignment. You know, our Black-owned vendors did over $100,000 in 1 year. Wow. So we were happy to be able to facilitate that type of economics with small ticket items, soaps, oils, sage, candles. So we appreciate all our vendors, and we definitely go pay homage and work with all the ones that definitely been sticking with us all this time, because we definitely haven't been perfect. So we know we definitely need to tie some loose ends and make sure everybody get paid.
But you know what? The thing about it is this. It's not about being perfect.
For sure.
It's about jumping out there and starting. And sometimes, and when you start, when you have the courage to start, because 90% of the people not going to have the courage to start.
Right. Exactly.
But when you have the courage to start, you are going to run into some learning obstacles.
For sure.
But that's part of the process.
Right.
But Lloyd, tell me a little bit about how you single-handedly been able to energize the group that I was talking about, the Gen Zs and the millennials.
There we go.
In recent years. And these are people who have in recent years thrown up their hands to politics and politicians. And if possible, I want you to really zero in on you on how you have reached out to also the seniors in the community. Because a lot of times when people look at you, a young man,
right,
who are seniors, they'll say, he probably doesn't have anything of interest, or he really doesn't have our best interest at heart.
For sure.
He's not ready. That's their favorite line.
Or he's not ready. So what does it take to be ready?
I mean, first I would say I haven't done anything single-handedly.
Yes.
You know, everything has been through collaboration of what we're doing. And everybody know the intricate parts and what they play. From my partner Randy on down. So I would say I try to, if anybody know me, I try never to really say I or me. Everything is we and us.
Of course.
You know, what we do.
And I can testify to that. He says that a lot.
Yeah.
Even sometimes I'm talking to somebody and I'll be saying, look, they say, who is this we you talking about? You know, and I'm like, I'm talking about my group. You know, everybody that played a part in what we do. And that's how serious we are about our community. And when I say this, when we look at what we want to do with the seniors, we look at where's the gap? Where do they want help in? And a lot of time it's technology.
Okay.
It's different innovation in their communities. So guess what? That's what made us start the websites.
Exactly.
We realized when it came different from leadership to leadership, they had a gap. And this person had the domain. And this person don't know who paying for this.
Right.
And so they could never keep that stuff in order. Yes. And one thing I say, I know that I'm the most busiest, easiest person to notify that you know of because I'm going to respond.
Right,
so
right.
They, even though we build and we pay for their websites, they still maintain ownership of what they do.
That's good.
We want them to maintain and have access to everything that they do.
Yes.
And when it comes to the youth, we realized that it wasn't enough to just get them involved in trades. Right. They didn't, you know, they don't respond to just getting a job like us in generations of the past.
No. Right.
So guess what? We had to deal with them a little bit different, and we came up with something called monetize your talents.
What's that?
So we teach them, hey, come up with something that you're passionate in, something that you like to do, something that you don't see as a job.
Yeah.
And then we will teach you how to make money from it.
Yeah. And when you say that, it kind of reminds me when we were younger and our parents would be like, we tell our parents what we really wanted to do when we grew up.
That's right.
And the first thing they said, that ain't going to make you no money.
Yeah.
So what's your backup plan?
Right. Now with all the technology and stuff these days, every business that's paid to the front is paid by solving a need or solving a problem of somebody else.
Yeah.
So we teach them, hey, let's take that talent and now how can you use that as an economic driver for your life?
Right.
So that is.
Okay, so you have Gen Z and you have the elders. So what are you doing or what is the plan for millennials? Because now, as Instagram loves to say, we
the millennials,
right? We the new adults. So what is, because with us it's careers, it's family, and trying to self-care, it's all of that. So where do we fit in? Because we not the younger generation, but we ain't the elder generation.
I'm gonna tell you why I leave us for last.
Okay.
And that's because for one, I still feel like I haven't done nothing yet. So I feel like we still on the uptick of trying to do so. But just like the famous words of Dr. Amos Wilson is, if we want black people and we want people to listen to us, then guess what? We gotta lead what we're saying with power.
Right.
And when I say power, I mean opportunity.
Right.
So we are led by action. So until us millennials see me in the action, in the way that we want to be, in the prosperous, then guess what? They not going to listen. So I think it's a certain amount of work that we need that needs to be done in opportunity and things that they see us providing before they say, hey, this may be a route.
Because the reason I'm asking that, because we always get left out of the conversation, right? Sure. Because it's always the eldest and it's always Gen Z. And I'm like, hold up, we exist, clearly. So so what is the, and that's why I asked, what is the plan for us? Like,
well, I would say this. I'm always thinking economics first.
Yeah.
So I go back and I look at all the ways that the city give money to big corporations. We want to see how now we can reproduce these deals for our small businesses and businesses that we have in our communities.
Yes.
I say this all the time. Just in Sunnyside South Park, just on Cullen Scott and MLK, we have 40 dilapidated buildings that can be used for economics.
Right.
New
and
businesses.
The owners of these buildings are some of them. Buildings owned by
foreign
the city?
Foreign people.
Foreigners.
Okay. Some of them are owned by the city. But again, you know, the city owned over 200 properties just in our District D alone. So we talk about economic. Not to mention, we got about 4 empty schools.
Yes.
So
that's sitting there rotting out.
Yeah. We talk about housing. We talk about extra businesses. We talk about complex of opportunity. These are the places to do it.
Yeah.
But the number one thing would be, hey, we don't have no money. But guess what? We just spent, what, 14 or... $14 million, $4 million on some lights.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So our priorities are wrong when it comes to the city. And like you say, that money goes to the people that they feel like are voting and advocating for in those ways. And guess what? People over there in that area vote way more than the people in our areas that'll be advocating for these schools.
You made a really good point. as far as the opportunities that are available over there, just with dilapidated buildings or different actual pieces of real estate.
For sure.
That could be incubators.
Yeah.
If you are elected, how would you go to help incubate small businesses, maybe that are startups from seniors, right, or maybe startups from young people who would possibly be able to move into one of those if it was an old school that was opened up as a retail spot,
right,
with the classrooms being the different retail areas? How could you drive that into fruition, or is that a possibility?
No, I believe it, because you know the city, you know, they exchange properties all the time.
Okay.
So just like they did one in Acres Home, it's easy to do one out here.
Explain that to me. What do you mean exchange property?
So you know, like right now, that property I believe is owned by HISD.
Okay.
But you know, they transfer property to each other all the time. Okay. I guess when it suits their needs.
Right.
So these are things that we can be using, and guess what? We can help people raise money for small business.
Right.
It's places that have already said, no other community allows it to be that many, you know, dilapidated buildings in their areas that can be used for viable businesses.
It's dangerous.
Right. So it's definitely ordinances that can be passed that we not only not allow people to have dilapidated buildings for 3 decades in right. our communities,
right.
but also eliminate people standing in front of businesses all day and night.
That's right.
In front of our businesses. Most of them are not Black businesses either. Yeah. And to be honest, the business owners that are not from here, they feel like that's a layer of security, because if people standing in front that's from the community, nobody is going to rob them. So wow. that is their way of thinking.
Wow.
And so. It's cheaper than paying for security. Wow.
Well, think about it. Yeah.
But that feeds into a cycle of crime, a cycle of poverty, a cycle of people not necessarily wanting to patronize certain areas and business sure. in businesses that could be great businesses in for certain sure. areas, because you have people loitering constantly,
heckling you all day. Well,
but then that still works to their advantage if you think about it, because instead of selling this business off for $20,000 or selling this off for $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000, I could sell it for $4,000 and turn over a bigger profit.
I mean, you got to understand, most of these businesses, why you think they don't have a no chase policy like in your no stop policy in like CVS and Walgreens? They already done the math that it's cheaper if they just let people steal and they write it off rather than high viable security.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. That's why I said it works in their favor. So them doing nothing is bringing them more money.
Yeah.
So does that contribute to the cycle of what we see
of crime
in Sunnyside, yeah. what yeah. we see oh, in of South course. Park?
Definitely.
Places, because you see some larger entities move back into the community to try to help revitalize it.
There's no way one community should have 15 Family Dollar trees.
That's true.
And they're building another one
yeah.
off that, you know, where Carnegie Vanguard and Elementary right. used to be
right.
on
right
that road. They're yeah. building another Dollar General. I was like, how many Dollar Generals?
And they're building another one off of Scott.
I was like, how many do they need?
Well, let's look at that, Lloyd. In communities like Sunnyside or like South Park, why is it that you have certain businesses that can get a foothold there almost to the point where nothing else can come in and be competitive?
I mean, we offer these corporations all type of tax abatements and stuff to be and come within our communities, because we call that so-called offering jobs.
What about
we can offer those same opportunities to our own community. H&Bs, and you know, they've made that choice and they rather move. They said, you know, for their studies, is the income level is not high enough for them to move an HEB within that area.
Well, HEB is also affiliated with Jovie's. That's a different income level that they are
for sure. Yeah. But I mean, you already got a Fiesta over there. You already have a Watkins. Mm-hmm. But again, these are not places that people would shop at. Probably if they didn't have to.
But let's look at this. Let's look at this. What would it be if you are the next city council person to court a grocery store? Let's be honest. Between Watkins and Fiesta, which are within a mile of each other on Cullen, all the way over to South Park, there's not another grocery store.
Right.
Okay. What would be the catalyst to try to get someone to come into that South Park area and have a grocery store? Or is that not even a viable option for many of the big chain grocery stores?
I mean, I don't think it's an option for the big chain grocery stores, but that's not even an option that I would even consider anyway.
Why so?
I'm a little bit more I would think what makes us special also when it comes to city council, all of my competitors, they have never raised money outside for their own business and corporate status and things like that, but that's something that we've done.
Right.
So when it comes to that, I wouldn't even look at a big chain. Matter of fact, I would look at us putting together their own. How could I build a coalition of people, stakeholders within the community, and we'll build our own grocery store?
And I mean, and that makes sense because, you know, basically, if you're getting the big corporations in, that is a that's a ding to small shops.
Oh,
and
yeah.
that's been the problem with small business owners. They are competing with the HEBs and they're competing with these big chain stores and they're not getting any business.
See, but this is when I would challenge all of our stakeholders and especially black stakeholders that make a lot of money within our community.
Right.
This is when I would go at your Mayberries, your Womax, your Rodney Ellis's of the world, and say, hey, now this is an opportunity for us to do. We know how to do it.
Right.
The same amount of paperwork that it takes to put together a $1 million deal, guess what? You can put together a $1 billion deal.
Right, right.
So it's not rocket science.
Yeah.
So you can't tell me that we have all these black prominent people from the city, the county, and we can't put together a deal to make our own grocery store? That just seems illogical to me.
So what if one of the prominents that you named says, well, there are no small businesses for grocery stores. There are no small. What is your answer to that?
Here's the thing. This is what I think. I think when it comes to something like that, what the pushback will be, hey Donnie, hey Vaughn, okay. What the pushback is gonna be is that we don't have an entity of minorities or African American people who have shown success to the degree of an HEB or even an Aldi's.
That is irrelevant to me.
It is.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't. Anybody that's thinking already like that. I mean, of course, we'll do our projections. It's nothing like we just gonna jump in and say we're gonna start a. No, we gotta run our analysis. We gotta run the risk. We gotta run the numbers.
And hire the people with
experience. Yes. Some of these are publicly traded companies. We can go look at a HEB, see how much they do at each store, and break down and do our own. I'm not saying we're not gonna do our own research.
Right.
But it's definitely I wouldn't accept that it can't be done.
Right.
Or it's not possible. I would really think. If we have and were to open our own grocery store, knowing that all these prominent people with all the support that they have, that black people wouldn't come and support those stores over Watkins and Fiesta.
Okay.
I mean, just look at Riverside Bank. I mean, as long as it's been in existence, you know, even though you and I have
Unity Bank.
Yeah.
You said Riverside.
Riverside.
Oh, that's okay. But you know what?
I'm showing my age.
No, I remember when it was Riverside.
Y'all, I'm about to be 40 in a couple of weeks. I'm showing it out.
That's okay.
But I mean, just Unity Bank. Look how long Unity Bank has been in existence and how it's still going strong. And I think they got another branch in Missouri City, or if I'm not mistaken.
Because you have some people who are going to go out of their way to make sure they support that entity.
Exactly. Absolutely. So if it can be done with a bank that is the only black bank in Texas and the only 15 black banks in the United States, then it could be done for a grocery store.
Lloyd, let me ask you something. Entities that are African American entities, the NAACP, the Urban League, these entities that work for the advancement of African Americans. As a city council person, do you think that it's possible for you to work in tandem with them to actually get some real solid things going in the community?
I would hope so, but I would say I don't know. I'm still a member of NAACP, and you know, I'm always around the Urban League, but I know how political those groups get.
Okay.
So my thing is, if they're willing to do the work and get the people, I don't know how the higher ups would receive something like that, but you know, to be honest, I'm not sure how willing they would be to work together.
And, you know, let's circle back around to this.
I would like to, but.
Yeah. And let's circle back around to this. In order to be able to keep these groups going, we're going to have to be able to invite some new blood and some younger people in who are willing to work within those groups to address issues that are affecting them.
I mean, definitely. Because, I mean, to be honest, you know, just to be, you know, on my honest tip, you know, a lot of these groups go largely ineffective in our communities. Is the majority of our people, the majority of people, unless you from a certain elite or your parents are involved, you don't know. You know what I'm saying? Most people don't know about the Urban League or not members of the Urban League or the NAACP. I'm still the youngest person when I go to the meetings at the NAACP. Yeah. You know, I'm 35.
And I said I'm starting to go back. I'm starting to go back.
That's what I mean. These types of entities. Now, we know when these were developed, it was, you know, these were revolutionary type entities. And they were really working to be a catalyst for change and inclusivity in the African-American community.
Right.
But as the years have gone by, have many times have people become complacent? Or are they trying? You're a member.
I mean,
are they trying to invite in new ideas?
No, they're not. Okay. I will put it like this. If they're not willing to enter the fight economically for our people, then they're going to largely be ignored, especially by the youth that are coming up, because they only going to operate on what they see. And they don't see you. They don't hear you. They don't feel you. And you're going to get the same people that want to trounce up those same political trees that even a part of the NAACP and Urban Leagues and stuff like that. So people that's a part of, and young people, you know, this ain't no slight to my young people. I understand that are part of these entities now. They doing it because either one, they kind of want to be involved, or two, they have higher aspirations for political and other things like that. And people told them, hey, this is the route to go.
But you know what? Who's actually doing the work are groups like your group.
For sure.
You know, with the economics group, that's doing the work. That's actually getting out there and doing the work and putting something into motion.
And then, too, I think it's incumbent upon the people that are the higher ups in those organizations, because my family is deeply rooted in both organizations.
Yeah.
That and 100 Black Men. so, yeah, been down their road several times. Mm-hmm. But it should be incumbent on them. Please don't send me no DMs in accost
me. To do what?
But it's going to be incumbent on them to say, hey, and some of them are saying, hey, we need more younger people in here. Yeah. We need, but not just accepting them to have membership on paper, but accepting them to actually work and bring fresh ideas and be accepting towards those fresh ideas.
For sure.
Now, Lloyd, let me ask you something. I know that you shared this with us before, but for those people who look at this, who've not met you,
right,
who don't know much about Lloyd Ford, tell me a little bit about your background. Where are you from, Lloyd? Where'd you go to school?
Come on now. You know I'm from the great Third Ward, Texas.
I knew that was coming.
District D, you know. District D. I went to school all my life in District D, from McGregor Elementary to Ryan Middle School to Jack Ace High School.
Wow.
Believe it or not, I got a football scholarship and I went up to North Dakota for two years. Negative 55 is not for Black people.
No disrespect.
What was it like in North
Dakota? Nah, it was actually good though. It was definitely a very peaceful place. Like, you pump your gas first, then you go pay for it.
Wow.
Like, you didn't need a receipt to return nothing up there. I tell people that at McDonald's, if you liked hot and spices, they didn't have none out there, because that is so cultural. Different businesses really made me realize how many things on the menu was cultural. Yeah. Like, hot and spices, that's a Black thing.
Right.
You know, they had snack wraps. You know what I'm
saying? I love snack wraps.
Right. That's all you've been getting up there, snack wraps. But no, it was cool. But I ended up coming back. You know, I graduated from Prairie View A&M.
Oh, of course.
You know,
hello.
You know,
we produce productive people. You know. That's what we do.
So, you know, I spent a couple of years in corporate IT. I got my degree in management information systems.
Yes.
The IT manager, you know, doing different stuff for McKesson, especially health, hydro resources out there in Sugar Land.
Right.
And I realized that really wasn't serving me.
Yeah.
And I had already started going to community meetings every month, every day after work. And so,
what community meetings like?
Man, I'm from Acres Home to the Mayor's Complete Communities to other civic club groups. And of course, we started having our own meetings on the second Mondays with Creative Group Economics.
Right.
So it really got me in a way of seeing how our community worked politically.
Okay.
In these different groups, because I never had really paid attention in college.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. So when you were in corporate America, you said you really wasn't feeling it, or you could do more. What was your fork in the road? at corporate office? Because I hear this story a lot. Is corporate really that miserable?
I mean, it wasn't that it was miserable. I feel like this, you know, anybody that know me know that I any job I go into, I'm number one.
You give it
like,
your
I'm not, like, I'm not a half do type of person. So, you know, when I started becoming in the corporate world, you know, I tell you this one story. I went to a job. They really promoted me in the first month.
Right.
So, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, we good, you know, but they didn't want to pay me what I want to be paid. But I didn't complain. What I did was I got a job on the other side of the aisle, paid more, paid what I was looking for.
Yes.
And I told them, hey, thank you, but no thank you. You know, I'm going to quit the job and I'm going to take the other job. Right. They called me and told me that it set the wrong premise that I quit a lower paying job and come back and get a higher paying job. So they wasn't going to hire me. So I thought that I would be a fool to leave my fate in anybody's hands.
Exactly.
So, you know, I just made it a point to now, from that point, I feel like I became an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Even though I did go, you know, work other jobs between that time.
Yeah.
But after 2017, I hadn't worked a real regular job since then.
Okay.
Okay. And so in 2017, tell me the genesis of the Black Store.
To be honest, the Black Store didn't open till 2020.
Wow.
So, you know, we were just doing community work. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, we was doing community stuff. We had the meetings every month, second Monday since 2017.
And where were you having the meetings? At different businesses?
Oh, no. First, we started off at the NAACP.
Okay.
House until, you know, they did their thing and wanted me up out of there.
Yeah.
Then we started having them at Shape Community Center. Thanks to, shout out to Brother Deloitte Parker. We built their website and we did the stuff for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, then once the Black Store was born in 2020, then we started having our meetings there until 2023.
Okay.
So we jumped around, but our goal was to own something, start something, and, you know, make it a viable business for our community.
So what you're saying is that before you ever threw your hat in the ring to run for anything, you were trying to do whatever you could to affect your community. Tell me about some of the things that you all hosted at the old location of the Black Store.
I mean, for one, you know, we always want to affect change, not only economically, educationally, within our neighborhood, empowering the people. You'll see that's something that we talk about a lot on our website. Right. It's empowering our people.
Yes.
And through that time is what we really figured out was, you know, it was a lot to do for us. Our community was dealing with the youth, dealing with our businesses, dealing with the different levers. So before we even thought about anything about a political race, we was already doing the work and affecting change with our own time and our own dime.
Absolutely. I remember sometimes I would look at some of your text and information that would come out, and you all had people coming over to the Black Store who would give seminars on financial literacy,
community movie nights, we had yoga days, copper wrapping classes, free gun cleaning classes for women on Wednesdays, movie nights for kids, movie night for grown-ups,
and then
free
on the weekend,
hookah nights
on the weekends. Y'all had the people who had the community garden stuff that
every second Saturday. We had the garden days. So you go look at our Instagram. I put like this. If you just go to my Instagram and you just scroll down, you're going to see, I don't delete anything.
Yeah.
So you will see a whole progression from me from college to,
everything
we've been doing for sure. Like really for real, a resume for your
That's
life.
Right. Yeah.
So you don't have to talk about or think about what we've been doing. You will see a change in my post overnight. You'd be like, this guy was just talking about nothing, and all of a sudden, something. Like, dang.
Right.
Boy, let me ask you this. Yeah. If you are elected as the new city council person for District D, tell me some of your initial things that you would like to do that you could kind of jump in and start doing real time.
For sure.
To affect the district.
Like I say, number one, what people always say, we're not outworked. We're out organized.
Okay.
What that means is we're gonna work day one. We'll organize our community.
Okay.
And guess what? That doesn't take us and cost us any money. Because the first thing when we bring our programs, people say we ain't got enough money.
Exactly.
And first thing we're gonna do, we're gonna have
cost money. Yeah.
Right. We're gonna have a community meeting once a month, every month, dealing with our community, where our civic club's gonna be there, our residents gonna be there, and the people that want to get involved. And I promise you, we're going to have some of the biggest community meetings in the nation for our district.
Yes.
So we just want to get people involved. And guess what? We're going to give incentives for coming to the meeting. That's Who knows? Good. I may be like Oprah and give away a car.
Like, what kind of incentives? So let's say this. I know that I was looking on your Facebook page, and this is something that was very, really interesting that I pulled up, and I want to make sure that I'm right when I pulled this up, Lloyd, because I saw the different areas or the different landmarks in District D. Tell us what some of the areas are for District D. I saw your landmarks on there. I'm looking for it now.
Oh, you got it on the map. I already know what you're talking about. I mean, we just dropped some different landmarks so people would know if you are in District D.
That's right. So what are some of those?
We realize a lot of people, you know, you got your Third Ward, Sunnyside, South Park. You got TSU, U of H. You even have some parts of, you got the museum district over there now. You got all the museums all the way up to Fannin. No. After Fannin, it kind of stops. And then once you get to 16, it switches to Alameda.
Okay.
So how far south do you go? Do you go all the way to like Alameda, Genoa?
It stops at Alameda, Genoa. You do have some parts on above Alameda, Genoa.
Okay.
We even have some parts of the Beltway, Black Hawk, and Beamer.
Yeah.
So you got Sagemont in that area.
Yeah.
So it does go a little far in that area. And guess what? You can be right across the street in the district, out of the district.
Right.
So it is a crazy map.
Okay. We remember how those maps.
I told Crystal, I said, did they take a Sharpie and just was like, here you go.
Yeah. They just kind of did it by street sometimes.
Population, you know, everything comes into play when it comes to that.
Yeah.
But I still think it should be a little bit more blocky. But, you know, they have different districts that's a part of the county, you know, water that's districts true. That are annexed.
Right.
Literally across the street from me, they can't vote from, let's just say, from Furman all the way to Cullen and the Beltway and Alameda, Genoa. Okay. That little block of Brunswick, they don't vote for anything. They don't vote for mayor. They don't vote for a city council person. And right across the street of Cullen, they vote for everybody.
I showed you that. Yes, we did.
You have to show me again.
Yeah, when we were right. I was like, what is this?
So how did they get just somehow left out of that?
Somebody say, I need a car. See, look, that's going to make people come to the meeting.
That's right. Well, let me ask you this, Lloyd.
Yeah.
Now, you said one of the first initiatives that you would do is to go ahead and make sure to have these meetings to make the community understand that you want them to have a seat at the table.
Oh yeah. My meetings are going to consist of more than just me going to city council. Matter of fact, one of the things that we want to do is bring a District D office. Guess what? To District D.
Yeah.
So you don't have to come find me.
Wait a minute. There's one.
No.
No.
Yeah. City Hall.
Everything is at City Hall. Everything is
at City Hall. And are council members able to have,
I don't see why not. Sean Theory have an office right there in the Cullen, the Sunnyside Multi-Service Center.
But she's state representative, right?
What that mean?
Yeah. Well, what I
guess
saying,
what? We can find a business that will, you know, lend us a space for District D.
Yeah, that's
I don't
I
think that
say.
Would be hard.
Well, they have to have district offices. State representatives and Congress, they have to have district
in
offices.
The district.
Got you. I want to make that a must for city council people.
Let me ask you this. What about something like a podcast or a bi-weekly or bi-monthly podcast that where you can actually talk to people and have people talk to you and other people from anywhere can tune in and see what's going on in District D.
I mean, we can do that as well, but I mean, one of the things, that's not hard, but you know, I think our point is to make sure that we reach everyone when it comes to this stuff. So we don't want to make it hard for the seniors to tune
that's
in with something.
That's
but
true.
One
that's
thing true. That we're going to do, that's my plan. And depending on how busy we are, I want to block off at least one day a week when constituents could come and sign up for a meeting. You know, just like city council, we'll have a certain amount of slots, but they have like 15 to 30 minutes and they can come present with me every week. So everybody can say, oh, we never had a chance to go. Maybe on like a Thursday from 8 a.m. till 2 p.m. we'll have slots where people can actually come in and talk to me and get a conversation.
You know, one thing I can say,
I'm sure we have slots booked up for the whole year.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
Because people want that personable. They want to feel like they can reach their representatives.
Right. For sure.
And one thing I can say is that before you ever did anything, Lloyd, what you have definitely been, you have been a person who's accessible. Anything that you are hosting, You were there. Oh, yeah. You don't just lend your name to it.
Nah.
But you were there. If you guys are marching around the neighborhood, you just don't have. I saw you ride that bicycle through the neighborhood.
Shout out to Scotty's Bikes. Appreciate you, boss. Yeah. Couldn't have done it without you.
Yes. On the commercial, Lloyd was riding through the neighborhood in his shirt. And
Lloyd, thing I can say about Lloyd, nothing is beneath him. You know, some people be like, I'm not doing that.
It's funny you say that, because you know what's funny about that? We wanted to start a Family Dollar equivalent. So guess what I went and done? I went and became a manager at a Family Dollar.
Yeah.
And people used to come there all the time, like, you look familiar. Uh-huh. And I'd be like, yeah, I own the black store down the street.
Yeah.
They'd be like, what you doing here? I'd be like, learning.
Learning everything.
Learning everything they need to be and
nothing
done.
Nothing is beneath him. I like that.
I appreciate you. Look, you can't serve the people if you don't know the people.
That's true. Let me
ask you a question, Lloyd. There are some people sitting there who are going to be watching this as it goes up on Facebook and in the other times that we will actually replay it prior to the election, because we're going to be, you know, for the candidates that we've had on, we're going to be replaying these all through the election because they need to get to know y'all.
Right.
For a person who is sitting and who could be watching this, who has been disenchanted with going, who's a registered voter.
Sure.
But who's been disenchanted with going and voting because in the last few years, they've just been completely turned off. What's different now?
I would say this. We so involved, and you can ask anybody that we interact with.
Yeah.
We want to be so involved in helping. How do we help our local person not only survive, but strive?
Yes.
And I think nobody's invested in this. And guess what? Every city council person that I'm sure that you guys talk to, they mainly people are talking about your streets, your roads, illegal dumping, trash, you know, and that
the
stuff,
violence.
Yeah, right. Yes, and that violence. Stuff, and that stuff needs to be talked about, and that stuff needs to be handled as well. But nobody's talking about how we deal with our culture and our community.
Okay.
Like we talking about such minute things as having natural hair classes for girls that's within middle school and elementary and high school.
Yeah,
like these are the culture changing things.
Yeah.
You're right. And we own beauty supplies. So we understand the need of other things, but we want to show them how to interact with their own beautiful selves.
Right.
And I think nobody is really talking about how we interact and how we change the culture of our community with using a political seat.
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about doing. So it goes beyond just solving these problems, but also solving the problems for us. But how do we build in sustainable things for the future? So,
absolutely. And Lloyd, let me ask you this. Now, there are, you know, people have said, you know, what happened to the black store? What happened to the black store? But the black store is still online. You have an online presence.
Oh yeah.
Please talk to them.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, we're gonna bring back the black store.
You know, that's been said.
But you know what? Here, let me say this, because people have spoken about that. But here's the thing: many people post COVID, many stores and many retail establishments post COVID have found it much more practical to have their presence online.
Right.
Okay. However, what people missed so much about the black store was the camaraderie of being able to come.
It was
personable.
Is that something that we'll see come back? Or
what? We don't know how to do a business without having that type of presence.
Yeah. Personable.
But and to be honest, that's one issue of our community. That's one reason why we didn't want to continue the black store there. We had already spent over $100,000 renovating the building that we didn't own.
Right.
Which it needed to be done in order to have a viable business there. But again, you know, when you got people want to double your rent from 3 to 6, and guess what? We wanted to get a sign permit. We found out they didn't even have a permit to erect the pole. So these are things that you come up with. And if we wanted to keep that business and do it right, we would have to spend another $50,000-$60,000.
Putting that in your own business.
Exactly.
Your own building.
So we just said, you know, we're going to wait till after the election. We're going to do it right.
That's right.
And guess what? Everything that came with the first black store, guess what? It's going to be amplified at this next one.
Exactly.
And we didn't charge nobody, not one dime, to have events at our store.
That's awesome.
As long as you was doing it for the community and doing it for us, we were willing to come in, house it, and make it happen.
Yes.
So that culture brings an attitude is everywhere we go.
Right.
That can't be put out.
Well, I'm glad you're speaking to that, because the streets is talking about that.
What? They want the black
store. That's why I want
people ask me all the time, even at the polls, like, man, where did Stowe go? I missed that Stowe. I used to get our packages. I'm like, I understand. We're going to bring it back, I promise, but we just want to make sure we do it right.
Right.
And
right.
When we do it, we can't preach ownership if we ain't own it.
That's right.
That's I right. like that. For practice sure. what you're preaching.
For sure.
Lloyd, you know, we still have a few days before the election on the 6th. If people want to reach out to you, if people want to connect,
sure.
if people want to donate, if people want to go and work the polls, how would they reach out to you and how would they get connected?
Well, I would say this. Look, you can always go to Lloyd Ford for change, or yes. you can hit your boy up 832-226-6033. Again, my number is on the city's website, so we're never hard to find.
Yeah.
That's
so,
your personal
number. Oh, yeah. yeah. We want to make sure that people know who we are. We want to make sure that you can always reach us.
Yes.
So with that being said, please go there. If you want to donate, donate. That's fine. But we rather you donate your time.
Okay. And they can donate their time by?
By, if you go to the website, Lloyd Ford for Change, yes. you can fill out your information. You'll be able to see. And we definitely going to hit you up and contact you. Because look, we always want to get people involved in solving problems for our community. So that's number one.
And how many steps did you take today, Lloyd, at the different polling places?
Oh yeah, I'm about 18,000 steps in. Look, we at the polls yeah. every day, all day, Sunnyside, multi-service center. Come and see us, come pull up, we gonna be there. So I appreciate everybody that come out, but look, we there from dusk till dawn, getting the work done.
Well, he's told us the big news. That was the big news. That's a lot of news, Lloyd. You have not been letting any grass grow under your feet. You haven't been back here in a minute.
For sure.
But when you said, you know, I've got some big news, anybody who can say I've made contact and reached 10,000 voters just within the early voting period, that's a heck of a lot of people.
Come on now. Look, we
how many
people.
Voters are there in District D?
So you got about 124,000 registered voters here in District D, but okay. traditionally only about 25,000 people actually vote. So it's 65 plus.
So, and you just in the early voting period have hit half of those.
For
that
sure.
generally, that's some legwork.
So when do you sleep?
Nowadays, I ain't gonna lie, I've been going to sleep a little bit earlier than usual.
I used to have to stay on this one, like go to bed.
I have but to if not, I don't want to get up.
Yeah,
that's right.
The polls be killing you.
Yeah, man, look.
And you know what, Lloyd, before we let you go, we're running out of time. And I know there's somebody waiting because we got another show that comes on after us. But Lloyd, for someone who feels that jumping in and actually who's not a career politician, who wants to get in and make a change, and they think that they can affect change. Seeing you do this from where you are, you weren't the son of a politician or anything like that, but seeing you do what you've done with what you had to work with, this is what I meant, Rebecca, when I said starting from, you didn't have lots of backers.
No,
you had friends and people who believed in you and people who had resources, people who knew how to produce a video, people who knew how to produce a commercial, people who said, Lloyd, we believe in you and we're going to get out at the polls where you can't be there. We're going to be there.
Right. And I'll say this.
You had somebody that they tried to run away from some places today.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That must mean they're doing something.
Oh, yeah. I would say this. I don't care. No candidate has had more volunteers than us. That's the mayors from Sheila to Whitmire. For us people that's wow. not getting paid and doing the work, I thank you to all my volunteers.
Yes.
But I promise
yes.
you, nobody is out there working as hard as my people.
Yes.
And they not even getting paid.
That's
so
awesome.
We they out there and they believe in the message. For
they
sure.
believe in you. They believe in you. Lloyd Ford, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your big news with
Yay.
Us. Yes. And we will know something by this time next week. We'll know exactly what the results will
Not
be.
This time. It's yes. too, it'll be too early.
No, it's just Wednesday. It'll be Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll know by Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And anybody that want to come see what we're doing, we got the poll watching party over here at 5015. That'll be Tuesday, November 7th. We'll be there like around 8 o'clock, you know, after we leave the polls.
Okay.
So we'll be there to see what's up. So please come there. Don't meet us there. Beat us there. We love it.
Okay. ladies and gentlemen, my Facebook family, we got to shout out to some of our people who have left us some comments. We really appreciate that. We want to shout out to, hey, John. John is also in the race, and he's running for
City Council at Large 4, I believe.
Hey, yeah, John.
That's right. John Branch, mm-hmm. City Council at Large, position 4.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. We've got Vaughn Taylor. Vaughn is always a great supporter of Lloyd, and he's been in the trenches with you. Absolutely. There's Donnie. Hey, Donnie Lewis. Donnie is another podcaster, but he's a nationally known podcaster.
Come on now.
He's the Louisiana country boy. Thank you for tuning in, Donnie, and thank you for your observations and comments. Donnie says it's difficult, if even possible, to have and abstain a community bank in our neighborhood. We've only been able to have one that survived.
Right.
One that survived. But that doesn't mean that others can't come up and with the resources and with the technology that we have now.
We got some plans for that, too.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And we also had, let's see. Vaughn says, great conversation, y'all. Good information. Lloyd T. Ford. Well, Lloyd, thank you so much for coming back on and sharing with us. We always, you're always delightful to have here. And again, let's one more time, the telephone number, the website, if people need to connect.
You got Lloyd Ford for number 4 for change. You could just put Lloyd Ford Houston. You got Instagram, Ford Can't Lose. Check us out. And of course, you want to hit me up. It's 832-226-6033. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you, Lloyd. Thank you.
I did not
introduce my wonderful, wonderful co-host, Rebecca, like I usually do.
Thank you, Rebecca. They know me.
But your name is floating across the bottom.
So let me just say this before we get off. Happy homecoming, Panthers. So this is our homecoming this week. Yes. I can't wait to see you guys on the hill. I know we've been itching for weeks. Happy homecoming. We all know that PV produces productive people.
Yes. And with that in mind, Rebecca, like we always say every week,
we can do it.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.